Olúwa fún mi láyọ̀, òmìnira. Olúwa fún mi láyọ̀, ọ̀yàyà. Mọ́dọ̀ balẹ̀ fún Olúwa o, tó fún mi.
That's the voice of Angélique Kidjo. She first performed in front of an audience at age 6 with her mother's theater troupe, beginning a career that has taken her around the world. She sings in a voice described as big, fierce, powerful, and a force of nature. Born in the West African country of Benin, Angélique Kidjo is a Grammy Award-winning artist who defies categorization. Honoring her African culture and encompassing a myriad of genres, Miss Kidjo's music is as varied as the performers with whom she shared the stage and studio. Just this summer, she performed the Curtis Mayfield classic Move On Up at the opening ceremony of the 2010 World Cup in South Africa. And earlier this year, she released Oyo, a CD that combines original songs as well as covers from some of her early influences. I am pleased to welcome Angélique Kidjo to our studios. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Last week, busy time for you. Last week, you were in Poland.
Yeah, I was.
Sharing the stage with Macy Gray and Rufus Wainwright and Marianne Faithfull. You were there doing what?
Philip Glass, celebrating the 30th anniversary of Solidarnosc.
In Poland.
And
did that struggle speak to you?
It speaks to me because I grew up in a country where the communism regime had shown me that when you're living in a country where there's no freedom of speech and you can't think for yourself and take lead in your own life, you cannot be creative. And the reason why I left was because of the lack of freedom for me to do my music the way I wanted to. And also because solidarity is needed more and more, more now than ever, because we're talking about globalization. How can we be a global village if we don't lend a hand to one another and reach out to one another? Solidarity is what is the cement of humankind.
I'm trying to understand that oppression of artists. It seems so odd and strange to me because I know historically it's happened to many, many artists. But for you personally, would they tell you not this music, not these lyrics? What kind of oppression were you feeling that you felt you needed to leave?
Because my father used to tell me, do not use your music for any political party, because the political parties, they come and they go. And if they go, you go. And I never, ever did that. I use the example of the traditional musician in my country, which basically told me the story of who I am, of my society, of the world that I'm going to be living in, and how I'm going to be called upon to live with other people within the differences of language, belief, and culture that we have. So for me, to have a regime to tell me that all I have to say every morning when I wake up is that I'm ready for the revolution. I didn't ask for no revolution. I'm not ready for no revolution. I'm not here to tell people what they have to do. The freedom of speech has responsibility and consequences. When you say things, you know that you impact not only yourself, but other people. And that right cannot be taken away despite even the government want to do so.
I think people over here know very little about Benin. Tell us what you want us to know about this country.
Benin is a very small country, but culturally and historically is a very, very important one in many ways. In the trade of slavery, because the first boat loaded with slaves left my country, unfortunately. And also musically. The music and the arts from Benin has spread beyond our border. We are only 9 million people. We speak 50 different languages, but our rhythms and our music is heard all the way here. The blues will not exist without the slaves that come from Benin. And the blues is the foundation of R&B, rock and roll, pop music, country music, all of it is there. So for me, it just gave me the sense that my country is at the beginning of a journey of music that I'm continuing today.
What did your parents do?
My father was a post office manager, and he used to play banjo and sing. My mom used to do theater, and my father have a hobby, is photography. So he was doing all those to be able to have income from different sources to put 10 children to school, girls and boys, because my father believed that by giving us education, He will help us take lead in our own life. And that's what I'm giving back today through my music and through my organization.
A theatrical mother and a postal worker father, but it sounded like he played music as well, as you say. So it sounds like there was creativity throughout your entire house.
Absolutely. The house was full of music, full of discussion. My father said the house was going to be a free zone of speech. There won't be any taboo subject except racism and xenophobia. That was not discussable. That was not allowed in the house. And also music and sport have always been very important because my father said, you want to do music, you have to be healthy. If your body's not healthy, how are you going to sing?
Well, you were able to tie it together with music and sport, being able to play for the World Cup. Tell us about that experience.
Hey, I played soccer with my brothers because I was the last girl. Well, there are only three girls in a family of 10 children. I have seven brothers. Sometimes they don't have the team set up completely, so they need me. So I play soccer. And the first time they asked me, I went to my dad. I said, why did they ask me to play soccer? It's boys' game. And my father said, soccer going to teach you how to work with others. That's what it is about. All together working for the same goal. If we can implement that in our lives, all of us working toward the goal of peace in the world, equality, and sharing generosity and loving one another, man, we're going to be the best thing ever that exists on the planet Earth.
And now that you've obviously left what was a dictatorship at that time, even though it's not anymore, right?
No, we've been a democratic country since 1989, and it's the first democracy ever in Africa that happened without bloodshed, and that is still going on. The Constitution is pretty much followed.
So how do you view your own mix of music and politics now?
Oh, always growing, always evolving. I think that music have helped me lend my voice to the one with no voices in the world across the board. Because people come to me and speak to me because I'm not a politician. And if they have any worry, they know that would touch me. And I would do my research and I would sing about it or I would talk about it. Because there are so many people that go on notice on the right radar that are struggling to survive every day, not only in Africa, even here in America. When I first heard about poverty in America, it was with Curtis Mayfield's song, Moving Up. And I said to my brother, because my brother was discussing about it, I'm like, you guys are wrong. There can't be poverty in America. America is the biggest country and the richest country on the planet.
Surprise.
They say, no, let me get news for you. There's poverty in America. And that was a shock for me. So if we were able in the most richest and the biggest country on the planet to have homeless and poor people, something is wrong with the system. It means capitalism is not the right way to do things. And if the capitalism that we have is not much more oriented toward the well-being of people, so what are we here for?
I'm Elliot Forrest in for Leonard Lopate today. My guest is Angelique Kidjo. Her album is called Oyo. We're going to hear another track in just a moment. Tell us about your involvement with UNICEF.
UNICEF have helped me become the healthy adult that I am today because my mom knew when the truck of UNICEF would pass by because my father couldn't afford to do the vaccination. He couldn't pay the food, the tuition, the uniform, everything, and do the health thing. He does what he can do. So UNICEF was really at the center of my health. All the vaccination I've had was through UNICEF. And I hated that truck. Every time it comes by, I'm like, ah! And I would go away and hide. My mom would find me because I don't like needles. So, but UNICEF are giving me more than I can give back. Because without them, I might not be healthy. Because if you're not healthy, you can't go to school and learn properly. So I give back by giving back the same kind of job that UNICEF have been doing when I was a child, by going for vaccination, talking about malaria, talking about HIV and AIDS pandemics, education, eradication of poverty, reduce the child mortality children between 0 and 5, to reduce that gap, that age range to 0. So we're working toward it, and we're having success. And it's great to work with UNICEF on the field. It's amazing.
And it's great that they helped you, and now you're turning the tables. You're actually a Goodwill ambassador.
I have to.
So this song is a bonus track on your CD called You Can Count on Me. This is actually a theme for the UNICEF campaign?
Yeah, for newborn tetanus, because It's amazing to, it's just flabbergasting to know the number of kids that die again. We are in the 21st century. Newborn baby that die from tetanus. Every 4 minutes, you lose one child from tetanus. And the vaccine does exist for so long since the, after the Second World War, the vaccine was widespread. How can we sit back here and say, we cannot? It's not like HIV and AIDS, there's no vaccine. But for the neonatal tetanus, there is a solution. We can vaccinate the mothers, that will protect the baby and give them the time to go and vaccinate them. And the best way to do it is to donate a song and tell it, any child that is born anywhere in the developing world, you can count on me, because with my music, I will help you through.
Let's hear a little piece of this. This is Angelique Kidjo. The song is You Can Count on Me. Angelique Kidjo from her new CD, Oyo. The song is called You Can Count on Me, the theme of the UNICEF campaign, Give the Gift of Life. Elliot Forrest in for Leonard Lopate. My guest is Angelique Kidjo, who will be playing November 11th at Carnegie Hall.
Absolutely.
Have you played there before?
Oh, yes, many times.
Tell me about this concert that's coming up.
This concert is the celebration of the music of the Black diaspora. I've done 3 albums coming back all the way from Africa to America, to Brazil, to Cuba, to the Caribbean, to trace back the roots of slavery. Because music was the first thing that brought me to the attention of African people being called African-American. Because when I was growing up, you're African, you live in Africa. You cannot be African and American at the same time. So that the music of this album, Oyo, which means beauty of the human soul and beauty of music, it's to just give back to all those artists that have given me the knowledge of what the world in which I was going to be living in and what we have to do for slavery not to happen ever anymore. So I have guests like Omara Portuando, Dan Reeves, Romero Lubambo, Yusun Duo, Lionel Lueke, many artists that helped me build that bridge for all of us to just say, let's put the past aside and see how we can create a better solution and a better society for the future. That's what the concert is about.
Sounds like great guests that you have. Once again, that's November 11th at Carnegie Hall. This first performance that we referenced when you were 6 years old, what do you remember of that?
I remember my mom putting me on the costume because the girl that you're supposed to sing at that spot was sick. And because I was always curious, because I'm always somewhere when they're rehearsing, I knew everything about the piece, everybody's part. So I was playing again with the costume, and then my mom pulled me out from under the costume and go, now you're going on stage. I said, no, I'm not. She said, yes, you are. I'm saying, no, I'm not. I'm talking, man. She put the costume on. I'm like, Mom, I can't go there. She said, yeah, you can. Then she shoveled me on the stage, and I'm like, the light was right on me. I couldn't see nobody. I was just like, I could hear literally all the bones in my body go, and that's exactly the reaction of the public. They start laughing. I'm like, this is kind of cool. I make people laugh. Hey, I can sing.
So you liked it. I mean,
I just started singing, yeah. And I just like, whoa, this is feels so good. I'm gonna do this.
And at what point did you find that music could be your calling and that this would really be what you
when
do?
I moved to France, I wanted to be a human rights lawyer. Because of history of slavery and because of history of human rights that is not absolutely fair everywhere. I mean, the human rights is there for everybody, but some people don't seem like they are not considered as human being because of their skin color, where they come from. And I went to the law university, and after 3 months, I'm like, this is not for me. Because I realized that law have been written by us to compensate injustice. But I also realized that that law can be used and manipulated not for the sense of justice, but just for the greed of it. And I'm like, I cannot put innocence behind bar because somebody's playing with the justice system. So I'm like, you know what? I will sing. I will go use my voice to touch people's soul, for them to take lead in their own lives, for them to make the change that is needed to be made in their life without no one telling them what to do.
And shortly after that, you made your first album. How important was that? What did it do for your career?
Man, my first experience of studio by myself was scary because, I mean, the first album I made was in 1981, something like that. I came one day to Paris and did it the whole day, the whole album in one day. Then I went back. I didn't even know what a desk, sound desk mean. And this first one that I did with my husband was kind of, it's like, you take a cat and you drop the cat off the bridge to get to the water. And then you're like, oh, I dip down and disappear, or I stay up and float.
And that was those would be the two choices.
that was it. So I decided I was going to float. Whatever happened, I would do it. So it was the process of growing up, because when I left Benin, I was already famous. And when I arrived in France, no one knew me. But it was a challenge that was really exciting.
You had to start all over again in a way.
And I was so happy. I'm like, yoo-hoo, I'm an adult now. There's no mom and dad to help me out. I can do it all by myself. I did two promises to myself. No prostitution and no drug whatsoever. I will work hard, but those two are not my options. So I was determined to have a career, and I gave myself the time to do it. I went 2 years in a school where I learned classical training, classical training, and then 3 years in a jazz school. So I was ready when I get out of there. I'm like, the school is there to help me. It's not there to hold me back. And I was playing at the same time. I was still on stage doing clubs, because when you stay too long in a musical school, when you have to get to work, it's difficult.
Let's talk about the new album. What does the word mean again?
Oh, you mean beauty of human soul and beauty of arts.
And you've got some songs here that are yours and some by other people. Tell us about that.
I grew up listening to so many different kind of music, and it's also an album that I dedicate to my dad that passed away 2 years ago. Because of his openness, because of his liberal spirit, we were open to listen to every different kind of music that was out there, except from the one that praised hate. And my dad always go the extra mile to find us the LPs. And everybody in the city where I grew up, if an album is out, they know they're going to have it at the Kijo house. And we do parties. And those artists that I pay tribute to on this album is my way to say thanks to my father and thanks to them, because they have molded the artist that I am today. They have allowed me to dream big and to believe that my dream can come true one day. They gave me wings to fly. And it's very sad that we artists don't sing a lot of each other's song, because there's so much you can learn from one another. And I don't have an ego about it. It's all about the song. And the songs are so dear to my heart. It reminds me my childhood. Some of them, like Out of Africa, the song of Out of Africa, it was one of the moments of sadness that I have in France, because I was away from home, because I have to escape my country. For 6 years straight, I was not able to speak to my mom and dad. And that movie come on, and I was crying seeing it, because every time you see the bush and you see the landscape, I can smell it. So it's just to give back to all those moments in my life.
You have some great guests on here. The first song we heard as we were coming in, Roy Hargrove, is on that track.
Amazing.
We're going to hear Move On Up in a moment. Tell us who's on that, who you got to wrangle to be on this CD.
Bono and John Legend, of course. I mean, I needed two men with me, because we talk about women's rights, and we cannot have women's rights without men helping us. We cannot talk about working for the youth of Africa and the youth of the world if we, men and women, don't work together. And who better than those two male to help me get the message across?
You talked a moment ago about that first time in the studio and how overwhelming
it was all male.
Yeah, well, but at this time, being in the studio with Bono, that must have been a different experience.
Bono is a friend of mine. He's kind of a cool guy. I mean, I like Bono a lot because he's really talented. He's gifted. He hears things that I can't hear. And when he touches something, you know that is going to be special. And that Bono is Bono. I mean, I like him a lot, because I've been fan of U2 since the album Ashton, man, I listened to that album so much, the CD was just like dead.
I've been speaking with Angelique Kidjoe. Her latest album is Oyo. It's out on Razor and Tie Records. We'll have lots of links on our show page to your concerts as well as to this album. A pleasure to meet you. Thanks for coming in.
Always a pleasure to be here.
Africa Rising, Angelique Kidjoe, shining like a sun ray. Destination.